The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Dwayne Haskins released by the Washington football team in a move that is and isn't surprising. It's not surprising that time ended. It may be surprising that it comes one day after he starts an important game and before a game that can win the division. I have an interesting question for you, Joe, which is about Haskins' future. We had Jeff Schwartz on a little earlier, and he said Haskins will be on an NFL roster next year. I assume he's probably correct with that. But I would sort of ask, based on what? I mean, why would he be on a roster beyond the fact that there's this idea that he has talent, but we haven't seen it on the field, and he's now being cut basically for a guy who's played one half before a major playoff game. I assume he'll be back in the league, but should he be?
Why do people love going to garage sales? Right? That's what this is. Like, ultimately, it's the
but
most
when
important.
Has something like this worked? When has a guy needed this level of a second chance and it's worked?
That's a great question. Off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure. I would say not very often, to your point, because I don't think it would happen frequently. I would say that at some point, there will be a team in desperate need of help at the quarterback position, and they will say to themselves, this is the most important position in sports. This kid was a talent at Ohio State. He was a first-round draft pick, not by us, but he was a first-round draft pick. Maybe he's worth bringing in. Maybe he's learned something. Maybe the situation in Washington taught him some humility, taught him the idea of being a professional and the idea of having to work as a teammate. Because at the very core, Haskins is as selfish as an individual can be. He put his own needs and his own gratification above that of his franchise.
Twice.
And that can never happen. That can never, ever happen when you're the quarterback, a.k.a. the CEO of the football team. I'll ask you a question. I've had this one teed up for a while. Haskins is now the sixth quarterback in the last decade who was drafted in the first round and didn't make it to the third year with the team that drafted him. All right? So the last 10 years, there have been six quarterbacks now who were drafted in the first round and didn't make it to year three. One of those six is Dwayne Haskins. The other five, two are from the SEC, one's from the Big 12, one's from the Pac-12, and one's from a non-Power 5 conference.
That is a great question, and I am by far not the person to ask that question to of NFL draft trivia. I was trying to think, where did A.J. McCarron get drafted in the first round with the Bengals?
He did not. I'll give you a hint. You're an SEC guy. You're from Kentucky.
Yes.
This guy may have been the most popular SEC football player of all time.
Okay, so Johnny Manziel. Okay.
Well, which one's it going to be? It's both.
They're both
on the list.
They're both on the list. Well, they're sort of co-best.
You're such an SEC guy, you got caught up in the, man, who was popular? Both guys.
Both guys didn't
make it to the third year.
In the SEC, you're either a Tebow guy or a Manziel guy. It's whether or not you go to church on Sunday or party on Saturday night. You're one of those two guys, depending on what you are. So
does that Venn diagram not cross over? Can you
does.
Be a Manziel
there are
and
some,
Tebow guy?
There are some party Saturday nights still show up at the Baptist church on Sunday morning. There are some of those. Who are the other three, by the way?
It would be Brandon Whedon, who was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, just like Johnny Manziel. So they made that mistake twice. Paxton Lynch from Memphis, who was drafted by the Broncos like Tebow. So they made that mistake twice. And Josh Rosen of the Arizona Cardinals, along with Dwayne Haskins. Those are the six first-round quarterbacks from the last 10 years who did not make it to year three with the team that drafted them.
I would have never gotten Brandon Whedon. Maybe I could have gotten the other ones. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. Now, happy to be joined by former Washington State quarterback, a Heisman finalist, and the second overall pick in the 98 NFL draft, Ryan Leaf. And Ryan, I read a tweet from you 6 days ago about Dwayne Haskins, and I thought at the time it was very interesting, and that was before the news of today, and I want to read it and then have you sort of expand. You said about Haskins when there was a tweet saying that he had been partying maskless in a strip club. Listen, this is exactly what you think it is. There's something about the brain chemistry of an elite athlete that has everything and still feels slighted and hurt. You have zero impulse control. No one will tell me what I cannot do. I swear it's like looking in a mirror. So when you heard the Haskins news, is there a part of it that relates to you?
Well, of course. I mean, there's many things you can relate to it, of course, being drafted in the first round and going to an organization and people wanting you to succeed and be a savior and not living up to those expectations, and then self-sabotaging everything you can to, you know, make it worse. That's a mirror to me. That's exactly what I did, right? And I did the same thing. I got a second chance at being the starting quarterback, and I went out and played poorly one night, and I went out to a strip club, you know, and got drunk. But there was no media that reported it, and it wasn't during a pandemic where your head coach is dealing with an underlying health disorder that could kill him and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, people have a problem with it because of what happened post-career for me in terms of the spiraling out of control where I went to. But if you're relating to what went on as a quarterback in the NFL, it's very difficult to discern our performances on the field and just the behavior off it in terms of not listening, making poor choices. And of course, at the NFL level, there are consequences to continual poor choices that are made.
Ryan Leaf joining Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh here on the Max Kellerman Show. What is it specifically about the jump from college football to the professional ranks that is so difficult for so many young, talented individuals?
Well, the money. It's just, you know, you believe you're going to be – I didn't believe the money was going to change me. There is an elitism that comes with it, right? You believe you're better than other people. It just is. People can't tell you one thing. Also, elite athletes have a very fragile ego. It rests on a fine razor's edge of being like, you know, being an ass or being an elite athlete. It really is. And you just kind of bounce back and forth between it. It's what's made you so good to that point. You've had to play with a chip on your shoulder. But at that level, no one cares. No one cares about any of that. They just want to see you perform. It's about putting food on the table for your families. It is a job. And if you are not ready to understand that or fully accept that and surrender to, like, hey, if I'm not getting it done, I need help. I need somebody who can help me through this process. We're not willing to do it because we've been placed on this pedestal our whole life, and we think we are the almighty, that we are the right, and we'll get this done like we have done it our whole life. And it unravels in such a fast fashion. You're like, I just threw 50 touchdowns last year for Ohio State leading into the Rose Bowl. How am I struggling so much here? It can't be me. It's somebody else. And you start pointing fingers at everybody else but yourself, looking back at you in the mirror, and that's where everything just starts to fall apart and fall apart.
Talking to Ryan Leaf here on the Max Kellerman Show. Along those lines, let's say that you had been asked a week ago by somebody with the Washington football team, what can we do to make a difference? Is there anything that can be done, or you've been through this, is it ultimately a decision that has to come from the player and outside influences really can't do anything one way or the other?
It has to be a selfish act. It has to be Dwayne's decision to surrender and accept help and understand that my way doesn't work. I need help figuring that out. And some people have to be humbled in a way. Maybe Dwayne's not meant to be a professional football player. Maybe he's meant to be something else. I still think he has every bit of a chance to do it. We've watched Darren Waller resurrect his career after a substance abuse issue and has become one of the best players out there. You've seen players be able to make those kind of changes in their lives as people to become better players. You watched Alden Smith doing it this year because he dedicated his life about service to others. You can't make it about yourself. So if they call me, yes, I'm solution based. I want to be there for him. He's with my former agent, Dave Dunn. I've reached out to Dave Dunn myself and said, hey, I'm here for you and Dwayne or whoever. But ultimately it's up to him, and you have to kind of swallow your pride and just know, hey, my way doesn't work. Therefore, I need help. And I had those things in place. right? I had Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison, two guys in my locker room that were consummate pros who offered their help. And I was not willing. I was not willing to accept it or surrender. I thought I was right, and I thought I was the star. And hopefully, for the sake of Dwayne Haskins and his mental health and moving forward and everything, he'll be able to do that here now that he's been released. And this could be a moment of clarity where he can figure that out.
You know, the NFL will take a few hundred kids, line them up on the goal line, tell them to run 40 yards. They'll time it, and that will be an indication of speed. And from there, they'll make their assessments. When it comes to sitting down with an individual and trying to figure out what they're about and how to possibly identify players who might have trouble, like Dwayne Haskins, making that jump from the college to the pro ranks, are there questions that can be asked? Are there exercises you can go through with an individual to try to see which ones might have a problem?
It's difficult, right? Because most of the guys there have had great success, right? It's usually what happens when you fail. You know, many of us have never dealt with failure on such a high level, and you think you're going to be able to deal with it fine. But, you know, playing pro football is all about understanding that failure is just an opportunity to do it better the next time, if you're willing. So if what you're looking for is, and these are the best ways to do it, you go to the campus, you go to the people that can't do anything for that person, and you see how they treated them. The equipment managers, the counselors, the tutors, local people on campus, things like that. That's how you figure it out. And in those interviews, you really get an idea of what the person's about. If the person that you're interviewing is maybe more interested in you rather than themselves. Like if I sit in a room, or if I meet somebody for the first time, if I ask questions about them rather than wanting them to know more about me, and even though that's the interview, you kind of become the interviewer in that. That shows that you are empathetic and you're humble. You're not really, it's not about you. And that's very difficult, because to be an elite athlete at that level, it kind of has to be about you all the time. You just have to find that fine line. And that's why there's only, you know, a handful of great quarterbacks who have been able to do it and be successful over time.
Talking to Ryan Leaf on the Max Kellerman Show, Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. I'll get you out with this. I've always wondered this about quarterbacks, because I think it's a unique position in terms of how you're looked at. You know, Dwayne Haskins was picked after Kyler Murray. You were picked after Peyton Manning. Does that comparison, especially when the other guy has a huge amount of success, does that weigh on you, and does that oddly make it even harder whenever you're struggling?
I'm sure it plays a part, but it's, you know, in my case, you know, I was fine being second, because I didn't want to go to Indianapolis. I wanted to go to San Diego because I wanted the beach. I wanted the weather. I wanted the girls. I wanted all of that. So that for me, I looked at it as pick 1A and pick 1B. So, and Dwayne was picked 15th, right? He may have had a chip on his shoulder that he wasn't drafted higher. That may have been something, but that tends to be able to motivate, I think. And I think the work ethic, at least in this rookie year, was something that was questioned. And now we're hearing more and more stories, of course, come out about how ownership was more in the decision. Now, I hate when this happens. I hate when retrospect happens and they go back and like, oh, we wanted somebody else. Well, ownership made us do this. Stop with those excuses. I don't want to hear any of that. You did what you did. It didn't work out. Move on.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Leaf, thank you very much for your time and your openness. We really appreciate it.
You bet. You guys have a great day.
You as well. Actually fascinating listening to him. And there were a number of things that stood out to me, but one of the things he said is actually something I see here, Joe, in Kentucky. You know, Kentucky produces a ton of college basketball players, and NBA scouts will come in here. And of course, everybody knows how good they are at basketball, but I've gotten to know a handful of scouts that come up and say, hey, will you introduce me to the folks that work in the basketball facility? And they actually go and interview those people, exactly what Ryan just said, and to see how do the people that are sort of secondary around the program, how do they feel like they are treated by, you know, we were talking earlier about Tyrese Maxey's, a guy who was wonderful to those folks. And I agree with Ryan. That really is an insight into players that I don't think you can sort of know otherwise. And I think it ends up being important with a lot of these guys.
Character. So much of it comes down to character. We don't televise the interviews between the coaching staffs and the players at the combine in Indianapolis. We televise the bench press and the 40-yard dash and the cone drill. And we have everyone telling us whether or not a guy's got the ability to make all the throws on the field at the quarterback position. But so rarely the emphasis is on character. And ultimately, that's what you want. You know, you go back to that 1980 U.S. men's Olympic hockey team. Did they have more talent, more size, more speed than the Russians? Did they have it than any other team? I mean, you go back and you watch that movie. That was a group of guys who worked hard. They were team first guys. They were about the sport. They were about the country. They were about each other before they were about themselves. If you can identify that, those are the guys that come in and lift up a locker room. And that does a lot more than whether or not it's 4-3 versus 4-4-5 in your 40-yard dash, believe it or not.
And I actually think the quarterback position, more than any other position in sports, that stuff matters. You know, you can be a dude that's difficult to get along with. Like people, you know, obviously we all watched The Last Dance this summer. Michael Jordan may not have been the easiest dude to get along with, but in basketball, you kind of know your role. But in football, I think it's very rare to find a quarterback that has a high level of success that doesn't check those intangible marks. I'm not saying there haven't been any jerks succeed. I'm sure there have. But it's rare to see a quarterback succeed that his teammates don't go, hey, I love that guy. I saw the story about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what he's like as a person, but I know that he buys everyone on his team all of these gifts and all of this stuff. And that, you know, that camaraderie, that teamwork probably makes a big difference.
Well, Brady was a 6th-round pick. You don't think that humbles him every single day? You don't think that motivates him every single day? The fact that Brady in the Patriot locker room during film sessions could be called out by Bill Belichick was one of the most fundamental and important issues for that team, because if Brady's willing to be called out by Bill Belichick after winning more Super Bowls than Joe Montana, you don't think everyone else in that locker room has to buy into that?
Yes.
He is above no one else. Now, if you set him off to the side like Daniel Snyder did with Robert Griffin III and you let him use the private owner's elevator, that causes resentment. But if you can call out Brady and he can take it, there's no one else on that roster that can say he's above the team. Because if Brady does it, then everyone else is good enough to do it as well.
And when they're treated differently and they're not playing well, that makes it even worse. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. You know, the Jaguars are going to end up with the top pick, but there's a chance, at least we're hearing, potentially they might end up with a college coach that's won big. Will that succeed? We'll answer that next, but first, I couldn't go any further without telling you about mycomputercareer.edu. I would be angry at myself if I'd gone any more without mentioning it, because even though hindsight is 2020, and 2020 was a brutal year with a lot we couldn't control, the pandemic, the economy, unemployment, what we can control is our job and our career. And in 2020, My Computer Career helped more people start IT careers than ever. So don't look back with 2020 hindsight next year and think to yourself, why do I still have that 2020 job? Take control. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. This isn't rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Do it for you. Do it for me. Do it for Joe. Mycomputercareer.edu. Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence. Does that work? That's next on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Jacksonville Jaguars have now locked in the number one overall draft pick. It is the first time in the history of that franchise that they've had the number one pick, which is a little surprising because you don't always think of the Jaguars as a team of a lot of success. You would have thought they have the number one, but they never have. They are almost certainly certain to pick Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence probably is the quarterback coming into the league with the most can't-miss potential, probably since Andrew Luck, I think, is probably what you're looking at. And now there are some rumors out there that maybe Ohio State coach Urban Meyer, or former Ohio State coach Urban Meyer, could be interested, and they may be interested in him for the job. Now, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN's NFL front office insider, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he talked about if Urban Meyer could make that transition.
It's certainly intriguing for two reasons. Urban Meyer is a winner, and he develops quarterbacks. And if you're running an NFL team, those are two attributes you desperately want. The concerns are going to be learning the pro game, and you can't just out-recruit your opponents, but there are no gimmies. And if I was him, I would load up with 3, 4, 5 former NFL head coaches, maybe guys that were recently let go as offensive and defensive coordinators, so he can learn systemically how to build a team, how to relate to guys somewhat differently. But starting with Jacksonville, and presumably some of these other openings where developing a quarterback will be at a premium, his name will be in the discussion because he has such a flawless track record.
One of the things I've learned, Joe Fortenbaugh, about Urban Meyer is anytime he tells you I'm not coaching anymore, he's going to be coaching again. The question is only when. Do you like him in the NFL? Specifically, do you like him in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence?
100% pass. 100% pass. I don't even have an interview with him. And it's nothing personal to Urban Meyer. But let's take a look at what Mike Tannenbaum just said. Two things about him. He's a winner, right? He is a winner. I'm not going to question that. He's never won in the pros. In fact, he's never even coached in the pros. That concerns me when you have a generational talent like Trevor Lawrence. I kind of want the head coach to have experience coaching in the professional ranks. Number two, he says he has a great track record developing quarterbacks. Does he? Chris Leak? Tim Tebow? Cardale Jones? How many of his quarterbacks who he developed in college went on to have success in the pros? That's another red flag. If I'm Jacksonville, I'm not getting risky here at all. I realize I have the gift of all gifts. I have the chance to draft a generational quarterback who can turn around the fate of this franchise for the next decade. I need to bring in a professional. I need to bring in a guy who understands the quarterback position, knows how to develop the quarterback position, and coach the quarterback position. One of the names I'd bring in, Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. Look at what he's done with Josh Allen in 3 years in Buffalo. He understands how to build an offense around the kid's strengths. He understood how to get the kid to go from level 1 to level 2 to level 3, and now he's playing some of the best football of his career. Patrick Mahomes came into the league and had Andy Reid. Russell Wilson came into the league and had Pete Carroll. Lamar Jackson came into the league and had John Harbaugh and Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator. These kids, when they're coming in, and they are kids, they need guys who can develop them. They need professionals who understand what it takes, especially on the offensive side of the ball. That's why I'm looking at a guy who's currently in the pro ranks with pro experience, bringing up and developing a young quarterback. Brian Daboll checks all those boxes. You don't need a splash hire. Urban Meyer's a splash hire. Urban Meyer's not a guy I'd be looking for to develop Trevor Lawrence.
It's interesting because there was a time that the idea of a college coach to the pros was kind of not only considered weird, people just thought it was a terrible idea. Obviously, Jimmy Johnson had success, but then after him, there were a lot of failures. You know, even Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl, but nobody thought he was a great coach. Steve Spurrier, I mean, you can name them. But then all of a sudden, it feels like it has shifted back again, that people feel like they can do that. Maybe that was because of the success of Pete Carroll, even though he had had pro experience before. But Matt Rhule got hired, Cliff Kingsbury got hired, and those were college-only guys. I'm less worried than you about having pro experience because so much now of NFL offense really was brought in from college. I mean, college has become the innovator in football in a way it's not, for instance, in basketball. The game starts the changes in college and then goes to the pros. What I question, though, is can a guy that coaches like Urban Meyer win in the NFL? A screamer. I mean, college coaches, there are two different types that have success. There are the intellects and there are the screamers. And both of them can have success. But the screamers, to me, seem less likely to succeed in the NFL because these pros don't want to be yelled at. Now, with all of that said, if there's one guy that might be a quarterback who could be molded by the screamers, it's Trevor Lawrence because he's been with one for the last 3 years. So if you were gonna create a quarterback in a situation where a guy like Urban Meyer could work, I actually think Jacksonville is it. You're basically turning the page to a fresh start. You're not coming in with a bunch of veterans who roll their eyes at everything you say. So even though I generally speaking would not hire him, if he was going to have the perfect situation, Joe, I actually think Jacksonville is it.
Perhaps, but this is such a important decision. The rookie quarterback on the rookie quarterback contract, who is a franchise guy, is the most valuable thing you can possess because it's such a cheap deal. It gives you the ability to spend elsewhere. The Seahawks were at their best when Russell Wilson was making $1 million a year so they could spend on defense. Patrick Mahomes, prior to getting $500 million, was on a rookie deal. The Chiefs could spend elsewhere. That's how it works. I want to go back to a name you referenced earlier as the reason why you don't go bring Urban Meyer to Jacksonville to teach up Trevor Lawrence. Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury is getting the most out of Kyler Murray?
No, I think I think Cliff Kingsbury is one of the three worst coaches in the league. And I really do. And that doesn't mean he won't get better. But when I watch, they make basic mistakes. I do not.
They are wasting the valuable years of Kyler Murray's rookie contract on a guy who should not be coaching in the National Football League. He never won at Texas Tech. He wasn't better than Tuberville. He wasn't better than Leach. He had Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback, and he won nothing.
But
and
isn't somehow, that the difference, though, Joe? I mean, is that he never won in college. He was just handsome and had a crazy offense. Urban Meyer has won at Bowling Green. He won at Utah. He won at Florida. He won at Ohio State. He has won everywhere.
He has. But again, the learning curve. He's never been in the pros. And these quarterbacks he's developed have not gone on to have success in the pros. You do not have a learning curve with a guy like Trevor Lawrence. You need to hit the ground running. You got 5 years max before you're going to pay this guy and you're not going to be able to spend elsewhere on your team. You have to get maximum value out of that. The Cardinals are squandering these years with Kyler Murray because Kingsbury doesn't know what he's doing. Kyler Murray ranks 23rd in the NFL in yards per attempt, which is a measure of his willingness to throw the ball down the field. You have DeAndre Hopkins and he's not throwing the ball down the field. He's 21st in quarterback rating. Kingsbury and the Cardinals are ruining these years. I'm not saying Urban can't do it. I'm just saying I'd rather take a guy with pro experience who has demonstrated the ability to develop a young quarterback. The guy in Buffalo, Brian Daboll, what he's done with Josh Allen, that's exactly what I want someone to do with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury is not going to invite you to any of his future parties because if it was up to Joe Fortenbaugh,
he's got a nice house.
Then the Arizona Cardinals would need to use ZipRecruiter because it is finally a new year and it's the perfect time to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. Joe doesn't think the Cardinals did that, but maybe he could have found qualified candidates on ZipRecruiter.com/Max. It makes it easy. Jacksonville, I don't know if the Jaguars are using ZipRecruiter, but they should because they're so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. For free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Max. It's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Bills, Patriots. How big a game is it for the Bills? And do the Patriots have one last Belichick sort of knife to put in Buffalo? That's next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN app. Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh filling in. Joe, before we move on, I want to tell you one little thing I saw come up today that I found very interesting. The NCAA, which is, by the way, the bastion of the way you should run an organization, decided today to file a trademark application for the phrase Mask Madness. Apparently, during the NCAA tournament, they are going to be selling or maybe giving away, I don't know what, but they're going to be producing masks for people to wear at the games, and they want to call it Mask Madness in order to encourage people to wear masks if they go to the games or whatever. When I say that we now may have Mask Madness, what is your initial reaction?
Well, depends on which Joe Fortenbaugh you're talking to. If you're looking at the pessimist, Joe Fortenbaugh, the pessimist, would probably say, trying to take advantage of a global pandemic in order to make a few bucks.
They're going to try to trademark the word COVID.
Right, exactly. Like in that scenario, it might be one of those, hey, we're doing this, but when we make money off it, we're donating so much here. And then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But the optimist in me says this, and this is the Joe Fortenbaugh you're talking to right now. The optimist says, you know what? Good. At least it encourages the masks. It
gives listen the masks to you. A little like you're being generous. Like,
that's what I'm trying to be. Yeah, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say if they're going to go with mask madness and they're going to promote it, you make a few bucks, but you get people to wear the masks and you create the safest environment possible. Okay, NCAA, I'll let you go on this one. I come down your lane quite a bit. I'm going to let you go on this one. You caught me on a good Monday.
Well, I can't wait for mask madness. It should be very exciting. It is time now tonight for Money Night Football. Of course, we're going to play the games. Listen to that music. That gets you excited. And Joe is going to give me some prop bets to get ready for Bills Patriots. And we will tell you what you should play. Joe, give it to me.
Let's fire right out of the gate with the side here. Buffalo laying 7.5 over the New England Patriots. When it comes to the point spread itself, Matt Jones, which direction would you go?
7.5. I don't think that – I don't really think the Patriots have anything to play for. So because of that, I'm even going to take the Bills. It's a lot on – like, you know – more than I would like. I wish it was 6.5, but I'll take the Bills.
Buffalo's covered in 6 straight, during which time they've covered the spread by an average of 10.5 points per game. So they're not just covering, they're annihilating the spread. No Stephon Gilmore at cornerback for the Patriots tonight, which is a huge loss for the defense when you're going against this Buffalo passing attack. New England's offense has been mediocre at best. They've scored a grand total of 15 points over their last 2 games. They ranked 27th in scoring this season. I would lay the points as well. Pick number 2, let's go to the props. Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills wide receiver, longest reception, over or under 25.5 yards.
Wow, 25.5. I love the specificity there. Thing is, I was talking to McDermott before the game. They have a 28-yard pass play set that I know they're going to run probably in the second quarter. So I'm going to go over because of their rare second quarter 28-yard hook and ladder.
Interesting note on this prop. Diggs, despite the incredible breakout season he is having, I shouldn't say breakout, I should just say career year, he's had a reception of 26 or more yards in just 4 of 14 games this season. He's had a reception of 26 yards just one time in the last 6 games, and he's probably going to be Bill Belichick's defensive focus, which could open up the field for other wide receivers and at the same time cause some issues for Stephon Diggs himself. But remember, again, no Stephon Gilmore tonight. I might lean to the under there. Number 3.
By the way, you could have told me all that before I picked. Like, you could have given me those stats. You didn't give me that before.
I could have. You said you wanted me to set you up, and I figure I'll set you up to go ahead and give us your analysis.
That's fine.
So you're not biased.
4 out of 14 games is not very good. But all right, so what's next?
He's due. You can say it like that. He is due.
That's right.
All right, number 3. Let's just focus for those who have no patience, because we live in a world with no tolerance for wasting time. First quarter bet. The Buffalo Bills are laying 0.5 in the first quarter. If people want to get in and get out in the opening 15 minutes, what are you doing?
Best bet in sports, best bet in life is Alabama first quarter. Second best bet is the Bills tonight. They are going to they're going to get out early. They're going to be excited. They're into this. Patriots don't even want to be there. I would put it all on this. I would even put Joe Fortenbaugh's hair care products on this. That's how excited I am. Give it to me, first quarter Bills.
Buffalo has won the first quarter in 5 of their last 7 games. They're actually 4th in the NFL in first quarter scoring, and they're 1st in the NFL in first quarter scoring defense. No team has scored fewer first quarter points than the New England Patriots. They rank dead last. I'm with you. I would lay the 0.5 with Buffalo in the first quarter. If you want a bonus bet, Bills safety, Jordan Poyer, over 7.5 tackles. He's recorded 8 or more tackles in 10 of 14 games this season. He averages 8 tackles per game, and when he met New England a few weeks ago, he recorded 11 tackles in that matchup. Over 7.5 tackles for Jordan Poyer.
You act like I didn't know all that stuff. Over. Easy. That guy is going to get all over those tackles. So, Joe, thank you very much. That is your Money Night Football. We appreciate all of you letting us spend this afternoon with you here on the Max Kellerman Show. Shanae and Golic are coming up next. I don't know when Joe and I will see you again, although we are on Saturdays, 1 to 5 on game day. Hope to see you then. This has been the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.